The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Girl, it's pink sweater time, and I've got like 40 of them, so
it's sweater weather.
Get used to the look.
Sweater weather.
This morning I broke out my pink sweaters, I guess is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it feels very muggy and humid to me, but okay. It is officially fall. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I want you to thrive.
Thank
you. Look
you.
Great. I'm loving it.
Hi, Julian Bentivali.
Hi, Patrick Hines. Sorry, I was taking a sip of water. You caught me off guard, which is totally on me because we're sitting here in front of microphones.
Listen, have your water. You know what I'm going to do? Turn on the air conditioner. Is it on?
I just turned it on. It wasn't on when we walked in. It was off.
Oh, my God. Girl, we should tell the people, next drag bingo, if you're on the Patreon at the $5 or above, October 23rd.
It's a Wednesday.
Is our spooky drag bingo. It's a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday.
We're doing it on a Wednesday. That's
because,
so exciting.
Because it's the end of the month. We feel like everyone's going to be doing some parties and spooky season stuff if you have kids or whatever, or not have kids and you still want to do spooky season stuff. I don't know. Here we go.
You are a crusader for those without children. I love it. For the childless cat ladies.
You know what? I will wear that badge.
Me too.
Child-free dog lady here, happily.
Girl, what are we talking about today?
Welcome to our bonus episodes. We do this from time to time. Yes. I believe this is our 18th one of the year.
Wild.
We're back to that show, Smugshot.
It's so good.
Yeah, the other ones were a little lighter, but this is not. But it's still about a piece of shit who thought he can get away with everything.
Yep.
It's called Affluenza.
I think the majority of people believe that there has to be a consequence for your actions. That you can't drink alcohol, get intoxicated, get behind the wheel of a vehicle, and escape punishment.
The blood alcohol level of a 16-year-old driver was 3 times the legal limit.
The sheriff says that teenage driver of the truck has not been arrested.
A psychologist testified saying the teen suffered from affluenza.
He was the product of an affluent but totally dysfunctional home.
That he was too spoiled to know right from wrong.
Economic factors and race, it's all connected.
Affluenza.
Affluenza.
Is this an actual thing?
No, absolutely not.
There are two justice systems in America, one for the rich and one for the 99%.
There was a universal response that what he got wasn't just, wasn't right. This case struck a nerve.
Affluenza.
Are you kidding me?
This is ridiculous.
They jump right in with the stats. We learn the number one crime we're likely to be a victim of is drunk driving, and they say there's no way to protect yourself against it.
It's true, and I hate drunk driving. I mean, real hot take, right? But it really, because the selfishness of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, this episode is the reason why drunk driving, you know what I'm saying?
It's
a perfect example of how many things can fucking go wrong. It makes me nuts.
It's wild how drunk driving is so prevalent so many places in this country. People just do it unabashedly.
Well, we learned that someone says Texas clearly leads the nation in drunk driving deaths. And I'm like, the clearly must be because Texas is so big. It's a numbers thing, right?
But the way
they just came in for Texas, obviously, it's Texas. I was like, whoa.
Well, it's this guy, Richard Albert. He's the prosecutor here.
Richard.
I kind of love this guy. He said,
I realized there wasn't a lot of resources available in our DWI cases. I decided that I was going to change that. So I began specializing those cases, which led to me writing publications on how to try DWI cases. I directed schools on how to do that.
Richard decided he was going to fix that shit and do it himself.
And he says, I understand that everyone deserves a good, proper defense, but I wanted to be on the side of supporting victims and holding people accountable.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, I agree with all of that.
100%. He actually, he started specializing in those cases. He wrote books on how to try the cases. He taught schools how to teach these cases. I mean, he saw something that was needed, and he did it.
Yes. So we learn about the killer.
This was a major case. I remember hearing this word, affluenza, and hearing this case being like, did you hear about this kid who...
I vaguely know about this.
So
it's funny, the pockets of things that, like, I got and you missed, or that you missed and I got.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely
didn't... Can I just say the same thing? That I got and you missed, or that you missed and I got.
Yeah, but it happens all the time. Like, there are things... So I didn't know the severity of this case. This case is truly horrifying. But I just knew that there was some, like, in my memory of it, some bratty kid is trying to get away with shit. Yep. I thought it was more of like a white collar crime situation.
That's all that got reported. When we learned the intricacies of this kid's life, which I was glad to learn, I think it's different than like what was out in the press.
100%. Yeah. So his name is Ethan Couch. He's 16 years old. He was living alone in some enormous house his parents own. He was there. He's 16 years old. He was there because he was getting it ready to sell, and his parents lived 30 miles away.
Right. Richard, the prosecutor's like,
it was a real nice house. It was bigger than my house. Our house is nearly 3,000 square feet. This house is much bigger than that.
My house is 3,000 square feet. Right.
Good job, Richard. Doing great.
But like, I mean,
he's 16 years old.
I got to tell you, I have a friend, a good friend that I grew up with, who her mother moved out to go live with her boyfriend when she was like 16 years old.
Oh, that fucking breaks my heart.
It is so fucked up. And it's really, truly like 16-year-old children are not ready to live alone. And this is living proof as to why.
And the excuse is like, well, he's getting ready to sell the house. Excuse me.
Let me just say one thing here, not to defend anybody, because this is a terrible situation. But we will learn that there was a reason the mother was okay with him living alone. And we'll get there.
Okay.
But also, we're told that the mother knew that he was drinking. So, like, this kid is, like, throwing these... like, you would imagine a rich 16-year-old kid with this, like, 5,000-square-foot house with a pool in the backyard.
Yeah.
He's throwing ragers. He's 16.
And everyone knows about it. So, you know, I think Richard, the prosecutor, is the one who said his parents totally looked the other way.
Yes.
Knew he was partying, knew he was drinking. He got to do whatever he wanted. And it's not a situation where it's like, you can have a glass of wine, the parents are here. No. Like, they live 30 miles away.
Yeah.
And this was the party house.
And we'll learn that these kids have this system for stealing beer from Walmart. Oh, like, God. It's wild.
Yeah. We're not dealing with masterminds here.
No. We very rarely are. You know what I mean?
Do you know what, though?
What?
Oh, my God. Here's the thing. Our next Patreon series is Mastermind, and it's about the woman who fucking totally changed the FBI, Dr. Ann Burgess. That is the appropriate use of the term mastermind, because
she is
a mastermind. But of course, it's a woman who changes everything about our, like, how we look at criminals, but that's the only time it's allowed.
We gotta bring Let the Women Back. Fam, get in the Facebook group if you agree
with
me.
This is like another three episodes of Let the Women, for sure. She's incredible.
I was thinking about the series we're doing on Patreon right now, The Man with 1,000 Kids. Ugh. Ava, the activist who, like, protects women in fertility cases. Like, I think that she'd make an amazing Let the Women
And she also, like, loves a good group of angry women.
It's true.
Girl, you and
she
me
also
both.
Loves a shirt with puffy sleeves, which I don't love. You know what I mean?
I love it. When I see it, I'm like, yes! I could never do it, but when I see someone nail it, I'm like, good for her.
Get into the baby.
May her pillow always be cold. Like, I just love that for her. What a great thing she gets to do.
May her pillow always be cold.
I mean, like, she's changing the world. But, like, if you can nail a look, you know, like, we saw someone who wore... In the Army Hammer doc, she was one of the survivors who came forward, and she sat down. She was wearing a crop top and, like, a blazer just over her shoulders. Girl, I could have the best stylist in the world, but I love it for her. And I just, like, look at them in awe, these women who can just nail it.
Army Hammer's back, girl. He's in California, like, selling his trucks and stuff.
Can we move? How many assholes am I supposed to deal with? I hate that guy.
I know.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So it's June 15th, 2013. It's a Saturday. Ethan starts drinking around 6 p.m., they say. He's having a rager at his house. He's got a 19-year-old friend there with him.
Some random 19-year-old guy or, like...
And then a friend, Garrett, and Garrett's girlfriend.
Garrett is 16 and the girlfriend's 16.
And they decide they're going to go out and pick up four more people. He's got one of those Ford F-150 trucks where they're huge and they can fit tons of people.
How do you know
F-150? I'll tell you why, because Rachel Maddow, my like, living goddess...
Of course, yeah.
She has a Ford F-150.
Oh, of course.
But she did a whole story on Ford F-150s because they went electric. Because they were thinking if they can get that market of people to try electric cars, we might be onto something.
Fantastic.
I know.
How's it going?
I think good.
Okay, great.
I think she gave it a very positive review.
Look,
and
she's
from,
behind it.
I'm just saying, if a lesbian likes a truck, I think we're doing well.
She doesn't have a second to herself. She's on call, like, she's a surgeon.
I know.
All the time.
I know. And we need her.
And she's happy to do it.
Yeah.
So they leave the house, they drive to get four more people.
On the way back to the party, they decided they needed to get some more beer. Obviously, none of them were old enough to buy beer. But that wasn't a problem because they just went to Walmart, picked up a couple cases of beer, and walked it out the back door. And the way they did it made it clear this wasn't their first time stealing from a store like that.
Now, we see the surveillance video of how they do
that. They have a system.
They have
a system. This is not their first time.
Somehow, they have these, like, cases of beer that they're able to walk out the back door of Walmart. How are they doing this?
They, like, pick it up and walk a few aisles with it and then put it down as if they are just like, oh, let me place this down innocently enough. And then it's by like the back exit, which doesn't have an alarm or something. And then they just, it goes off without a hitch. They've done this a million times.
Totally. My nephew got totally busted for stealing two Twisted Teas.
Really?
16 years old in New Hampshire, in a Walmart, in fact.
What, just down the pants or what happened?
Up the jacket. Okay. And he like, somebody was watching him the whole time.
Because it was July and it's like, why is that kid wearing a parka? Who is he? One of the guys from Oasis?
And everything. Like, it was bad.
Okay.
Mind your P's and Q's, kids.
I mean, don't join. Whatever.
I know.
What am I supposed to do? You're putting
me
in a weird spot.
He's such a sweet kid, but oh my God.
So everyone goes back to the house and proceeds to get hammered. They're drinking Everclear, which, if you don't know, is like 190 proof grain alcohol.
Everclear is the most vile thing I've ever had in my life.
Okay. When mixed with fruit punch. Then Everclear is a little bit like tofu in the sense where it just absorbs the flavor of what you put around it.
But if I'm doing the Everclear shots, am I or am I not automatically mixing it with fruit punch?
It's always fruit punch.
No, I'm saying I'm the fruit punch.
Oh, I understand. For me, it's a very meta double entendre situation because I just have only ever had Everclear
with
and like jungle
punch.
Juice. It's like jungle juice. Great 90s band, by the way, Everclear.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Ethan is also taking Valium.
Yeah, they have vodka, beer, pill. They're not discriminating.
No.
They're taking everything. Valium, I'm sorry, belongs to one of his parents.
Of course,
perhaps.
But this is important because at 11 p.m., Ethan decides he wants to go to the convenience store. Someone's got the munchies.
Well, we have some very fine print here. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
So very small at the bottom of the screen, as they're describing how everyone's getting hammered, evidence suggests that the female teenager present that night was sober, not consuming alcohol. I don't know why this is a lower third, like it's a commercial.
I totally did not see that at all.
It's smaller. It's very small in the corner. I don't know why we couldn't have just gotten on-screen text, like a real on-screen text about it.
Yeah.
They kind of just like, all right.
I wonder because like his friends are doing the right thing.
Even with the alcohol the others had consumed, they knew Ethan shouldn't be driving. And there was an argument that ensued. He was just throwing stuff around and insisting that no one else was driving. And at some point, they just gave up.
I'm driving and that's it. And it will come out later, but I'll say it now. The killer does not even have a license. He shouldn't be driving in the first place, let alone driving drunk.
His parents have put him in a house 30 miles from where they live. They've given him a car for which he does not have a license for him to drive himself around or whatever. Now, these friends who are trying to talk him out of it, when they decide they can't, they all just pile in the truck with him.
Yeah, they, quote, give up. And I'm like, all right, I take back what I said about any of them being smart. Like, this is a terrible idea.
Six of them get in the cab, two of them get in the bed of the truck, and they just tear out of the driveway.
The outside part.
Yeah.
He's hammered. It's 11 o'clock. He's been drinking Everclear for 5 hours.
And taking Valium.
Like, at this point, he's blackout.
Yes.
There's no way he is not swerving at the
minute
he's behind the wheel.
He's driving into oncoming lanes of traffic. Everyone is yelling at him to slow down. They say he's driving angrily and aggressively.
Yeah.
And he completely loses control of his vehicle. And before we move on to the next thing, like, we see crash scene pictures. The car is destroyed. Like,
destroyed.
I mean, it is.
Totaled.
He must have been going 90 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. And then because everyone's screaming at him, it was an absolutely horrifyingly chaotic situation.
Let me say this to you, because I know a lot of you listen to this with your children. Children, if you cannot talk your friend out of driving drunk, that is not necessarily your responsibility if you can't do it. Please
do not get in the car with them. Do not.
Call me. Your mother has my phone number.
Yes. Do not. Please do not get in the car.
Good, just don't.
And they don't have to be this drunk.
Right.
They don't have to be this drunk for you to not get in the car.
I will drive if I have one glass of wine. If I have one glass of wine, I will not get behind a wheel.
Mike is the same way. Mike will...
I won't get on a city bike if I've had one glass of wine.
Well, I mean, definitely don't do that. That's like you like walking into a video game. A real life video game.
I love city bike so much.
I
live
for it.
I'm
shocked by that. That will never compute for me.
I want to get you on a city bike.
Never.
You'll love it.
Absolutely not.
No, you'd be so good at it.
I want to live.
I know.
I like my life. I don't understand.
I know.
I don't get it. So earlier that night at around 10:30 p.m., Brianna Mitchell is driving home from a catering gig. She's a caterer.
Just to be clear, we're backing up and telling us a different story.
Yeah.
Brianna gets a flat tire and crashes into the culvert.
Eric Boyle, Holly, and his daughter, Shelby, heard a noise outside. They went out there and they found Brianna. She's very shook up. Eric's wife and daughter insist they want to stay there with Brianna until she's called her mother. So he just went in the house and got ready for bed.
Eric came out too, but then like he's like, I'm just gonna let the women stay out here. I'm gonna go back inside and get ready for bed.
Like they got on like a house on fire, these three, and they were having like a nice conversation.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Eric
yeah.
smartly was like, I'm not needed here.
We looked at this very differently, you and I.
I think he was kind of like, they're having fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I'm not following at all. Right. Seems like a different language.
They're talking about that weird true crime podcast where those two hosts
right.
scream all the
they're
time.
They're like ranking they Taylor it. Swift albums. Yeah, and I'm yeah. like, what is Taylor's? Like, Eric, please. Right. We don't have time. We made a new friend.
Right. Dad, go to bed.
Kind of. Yeah, you know yeah. what I mean? Yeah, like, thanks, yeah. but we're good here.
But we're good. Let the women do
kind,
the work.
You know when you're yeah. getting, like, when you're just really getting along and then there's yeah. the other person. And to no fault of their own, it's usually an Eric, you know, an
100%.
Eric type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're good. Loving you. Good night. So Holly and Shelby are with Brianna as she's waiting for her mom to pick her up.
Yeah.
As they're all standing outside by her car. Now, Pastor Brian Jennings is also in a car. He comes along. He's driving his truck. He's coming home from a graduation party. He has a 12 and 13-year-old in the car with him.
Yeah.
We're told, out of the goodness of his heart, stops and checks what's going on because he's like, there's this like crash scene.
Yes.
It's not like a horrible, everyone's okay, but like a car yeah. definitely crashed. These women are outside. So he wants to make sure everyone's okay. Right now, we have four people on the side of the road. Brianna Mitchin, Holly and Shelby Boyle, who live in the house, and Brian Jennings, who just stopped to make sure everything's okay.
Told the younger kids to stay in the car, by the way.
Right. Eric, the father, is in the house. Like, we're talking
yeah.
Taylor, Eric. You're good.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's in there. There's a crash big enough that his entire house shakes.
So we're back to 11:17 p.m. and we hear him call 911. And at first he's kind of like, there's a multi-car accident in front of my house. And then all of a sudden he's like,
there's four or five kids. There's kids laying in ditches and streets.
Are you with the accident right now?
Oh, Lord. Oh, yes. There's another child in the ditch. Oh, my God.
There are kids laying in ditches and on the street like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Because to the surprise of no one, Ethan, this piece of shit,
yeah.
crashed into multiple cars. So yeah. what happened is he is hammered, cannot see. He's blackout drunk. All six of his friends in the car are screaming at him to slow down. He hits Brianna's car.
Yeah.
And then the pastor's car, who stopped just to check in.
Yeah.
We have four people on the side of the road and the eight kids in the truck.
Yes.
So here's what the evidence says. It's very confusing because the cops get here. And Eric, the dad, isn't the only person who called 911 because this is now a four-car pileup
yes.
outside.
And there's kids everywhere.
And everyone
Think
is calling.
Think about the number of
Think
people.
Think about that noise.
There was eight people in the truck, the four people on the side of the
yeah.
road, and the two kids in Pastor Jennings' car.
Yeah.
Like the sheer number of people in this
and
location.
And the sound. One yeah. sound, but that impact
yeah.
over and over again. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So here's what the evidence says. The killer is driving erratically and hammered. The killer hits Brianna's car, who's stopped, right?
Yes.
The killer's car keeps going. That's when he hits the pastor's truck that is also stopped.
Yes.
He hit that second truck so hard that it breaks the back window. The two boys in the back seat get injured. The crash sends the pastor's car that was parked and just sitting there
yeah.
flying forward. That hits a third car who was coming
in the other direction.
The oncoming traffic lane.
Yeah.
And then the killer's truck crashed into a tree and is upside down, throwing two teenagers.
The two people in the back of the truck just throws them from the truck.
And out onto the street.
Yeah.
And the killer runs away.
And the killer gets up and runs away. It's pure chaos. People are dead. Other people are literally maimed. Ethan, the killer, gets up and takes off.
For about 2 seconds
yeah.
before he passes out on the side of the road, like half a mile away
yeah.
in some grass.
And so they stop and shake him awake, and it's Ethan. Ethan's response is just some garbled conversation about, I'm Ethan Couch. I can get you out of this. And, you know, it's like... totally bizarre. It's like, you know, get me out of what? I didn't do anything here.
I can get you out of
like
this.
Like, who are you, Saul Goodman?
Right, right.
Did you know that you have rights? The Constitution says you do.
God like, damn, that's a good show.
It's so fucking good. But like, get who out of what? What are you saying?
He's just,
that's how drunk he is.
That's how drunk he is.
I mean, the amount of damage and death and violence that he caused to get more booze.
No,
like,
not,
for the sake, for selfishly getting more booze, the amount of people he put at risk is unconscionable.
He also, after saying that crazy, weird thing, he gets up and decides he's going to take off again, runs directly into a barbed wire fence.
Good.
Good.
Yeah, because Richard, the prosecutor, where the smirk goes, yeah, so he didn't get very far.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm not sad that he got some cuts and bruises.
Of course not.
No.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Come try new Skyline Dip Cholitos at your neighborhood Skyline today. A warm, soft tortilla filled with their amazing chili and cheese with an extra layer of cream cheese and crunchy Fritos corn chips at participating Skyline restaurants for a limited time.
So the cops come down to arrest him. They say he's like a total combative dick. He says, like, he's being treated by the paramedics, right? And he's saying to the paramedics, I thought about going to medical school. I could do what you do.
Shut up.
It's just like the absolute worst.
But doesn't this tell you exactly who he is?
100%.
I can't believe he has two friends to rub together to make a third.
Exactly.
Like, I can't believe that he has six people in his car right now. But you know why?
It's because he's the kid with the party house. Exactly.
They put up with him because he's paying for everything, and that's the party house. But he's not pleasant to be around.
No.
And we know this immediately.
There's
no way.
He's 16. Like, you also see pictures of this kid. He's so fucking punchable.
So punchable.
The worst.
So what's more infuriating is what this piece of shit did. He killed four people. He killed Brianna, who was the caterer, whose tire blew out. He killed Holly and Shelby Boyle, who were being nice and staying with Brianna outside of their home, like waiting for her mother to arrive. And the youth pastor, Brian Jennings. He also injured several others, and one teenager was permanently paralyzed.
Like, to think about, we're going to learn about Brian Jennings, the pastor, in a second, but we don't really ever get back to the Boyle family.
Yeah, I know.
And to think that, like,
and
Eric,
or Brianna, really.
Right. To think that Eric Boyle, the dad, went back inside because he didn't want to talk about Taylor Swift.
Or just being a good guy. I don't know why.
And then lost his entire family.
I know.
You know what I mean?
And that shit happens all the time. And so, like, to make a joke about it, we were talking about it before because we've all been in that situation.
Yeah.
We're like, is this conversation going amazing? I don't need to be here. I'm not really interested.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, to think about what happened. And he just thought, like, the two loves of his life were having a nice thing to wait for Brianna's mom to come, and, like, everyone was going to go to bed.
It's so maybe it's because of what we do, or maybe this is just how all parents are, but, like, I literally kiss Daisy every time I leave her. So
of course,
if she's sound asleep, I will go, like, because I leave early in the morning a lot before she wakes up.
Yeah.
I will go in and give her a little kiss and hold her and say, I love
sure.
you. And this is why.
Of course.
Yeah.
You just never fucking know.
There have been days I've gotten onto the street from my building, and I'm like, I didn't give Daisy kiss, and I will go back and
100%.
Give her a kiss.
I think that's totally valid and amazing.
I'm not looking for, like, accolades. It's just like, this is why.
Because you know, it's a scary world.
You just think you're going back inside, and then all of a sudden your whole family is dead.
And the whole vibe of this episode from the top was like, you can't protect yourself from this.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, just the physics of it.
Right. Like,
you can't.
So well said. Like, we have no control over other people's choices.
You can be the best, smartest, most responsible driver in the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't matter.
Sometimes it doesn't matter.
You do the right thing. You're sitting waiting for someone's mom to come because then, like, and what, like, what if Brianna, just the way the world works, she had no control over her tire going out.
Yeah, right.
People try to do a nice thing.
Or that
it's
her
like
catering gig
effect.
Was in that town or
right,
whatever.
Right.
You know what
and
I mean?
And what if she was waiting for something? What if, like, the risotto took 2 more minutes? I'm not saying that lightly.
Of course.
What if,
of course.
You know, the butterfly effect? You always say the sliding doors effect.
Yes,
like,
yes.
What if? You just never
it's
know.
It's awful.
So, Shauna Jennings is Brian, the pastor's wife.
They've been married for 19 years at the time of the accident.
Yeah.
She tells us,
I remember once telling me, he was like, if it's a guy and if he looks like he has it under control, he wouldn't stop. But if it was a woman by herself or whatever, he'd always try to stop. And in that situation, he saw 3 women.
And that night he saw 3 women. So, like, of course he was going to stop and help. We learn now that he had 3 small children when he was killed.
Yeah. And Tim, his best friend, is here.
Yeah.
And he's looking through photos and memories, and he really explains how many feelings are associated when it's a drunk driving accident.
Right.
Like, specifically a drunk
Shock,
driving accident.
Anger, disbelief. Like a drunk driving, it is so senseless.
You're like, wait, what? He stopped to help people 100 times.
Yes, what? Yes.
We were all just at the graduation party.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, like, when, especially when it was an event that you were all at together, and it's like, he was right behind me. I was going to see him at home in 5 minutes. What happened?
And because it is so selfish and needless and senseless, like, you're not just dealing with the loss of your person. You're dealing with the fact that, like, it was because of this other person's horrendously bad choices.
Right. And then on top, like, the layers with this case specifically, it's like, oh, it's some piece of shit privileged kid who just got away with everything his whole life.
Yes. And Tim says to us, the wreck happened 15 minutes before Father's Day started. And so now it's ruined Father's Day for him and for everybody who knew Brian.
So the charges are intoxication manslaughter. And the max is 20 years. And God damn it, Richard, the prosecutor, is going for it.
And he says, he's like, he had two very good attorneys that I knew well that were hired to represent him. He said, it didn't bother me. At the end of the day, the facts are the facts. We knew our opponent and we were prepared for battle. This guy, like Prosecutor Richard, takes this all very fucking seriously.
As he should.
Yes.
And again, because he wrote the book on it because there were no books on it.
Yes.
So this is also very personal just to his career and his cause in general.
But we also learned that he's going for the max, which is 20 years. How does one person get 20 years for killing four fucking people?
And injuring others, paralyzing
maiming
one. Just
them.
The level of destruction that he caused.
And because he's going to be charged as a juvenile, which is just like so arbitrary and so state to state. Like, you know, in some states you can charge him as an adult and you absolutely would.
Yeah.
20 years for killing four people. And that's the max. That's the best we can hope for.
And it's interesting because manslaughter, even though it's kind of like a misnomer, it means that it was kind of an accident. It's a lesser charge.
Right.
But to me, once you're hammered and throwing a tantrum to get behind the wheel, that manslaughter thing to me goes out the window.
I couldn't agree more.
You made your choices. Yeah. This is not an accident. Like, vehicular manslaughter is like, oh, you know, I swerved to avoid a deer and then I hit and then tragedy struck.
That's not what this is.
Choices were made.
No.
So a few weeks before the trial, the prosecutors get a call that the killer is going to plead guilty, which means we go right to the, quote, punishment phase.
Yes.
So the killer's family has a ton of money. The victims and their families do not.
These family members are trying to decide how to pay their bills. How are they going to pay to give the medical treatment this person that is going to be just one step above vegetative for the rest of his life? How does Eric deal with the loss of his wife and daughter? How does Brian's wife pay the bills and support her three children? I mean, that was the contrast.
This has wrecked their lives.
Yeah, like three children as a single mother, or their injuries, or the trauma, the therapy, or any number of things that come with a situation like this.
And Tim, Pastor Jennings' best friend, is saying, we all expected some type of jail time for Ethan. They said the prosecutor told them they could expect a minimum of 2 years with an outside maximum of 10 years. An outside maximum of 10 years is half the max.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
For killing four people.
Because the idea is, while he's pleading guilty, it's an open and shut case.
Yes.
There's nothing to figure out here. We know exactly what happened. So they're planting seeds for like, wait, but what's the twist here? Because he did it. No one's arguing that he did it. He was hammered. Like, what are we doing here?
It just all comes down to the fact that he was charged as a juvenile. So there's like there's very strict limits on what they can actually give him.
Yeah. Well, so the killer shows up.
Yeah, to court.
He's pulling out all the stops.
Yes.
So they're doing everything they can to make him look young and innocent. He got a new haircut. He has a shirt that's too big. And Prosecutor Richard's like, oh, the old oversized shirt routine.
Standard
huh?
tactic.
Oldest trick in the book. It's standard to make him look younger.
They've like drugged him.
And Prosecutor Richards said he was pretty obviously sedated, that his own toxicologist, like Prosecutor Richards' expert toxicologist, was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because he's a combative asshole.
Exactly.
So they had to make sure that he wasn't going to be like, don't you fucking know who I am? I can do your job better than you.
I was going to go to law school. I could be a judge.
While he's being tried for killing four people, paralyzing one, injuring people, and ruining countless lives.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's the kind of person he is. They had to sedate him so he didn't cause a scene.
So
think about that.
I mean, that is insane.
Insane.
And so Prosecutor Richard says he feels very confident in the case for incarceration. He said they had 24 witnesses, hundreds of photographs, lab reports, and they called representatives from all of the family members that were affected to testify.
Yeah, they had 24 witnesses, but it was pretty obvious that the killer didn't give a shit. He really did not care. No remorse, kind of smirking the whole time.
We also learned something that I had never heard before.
We don't get mutual discovery in Texas, so the state never knows exactly who the defense is going to call as a witness. We got a list of potential experts, we got names, and so we started focusing on that, just trying to anticipate who are they going to call. What are they going to say? What are they going to do?
Did you know this?
I didn't know that. Because usually, in most states, everyone has to show each other what they have.
Yes.
In Texas, that's not the case.
They don't have to do that.
The state didn't know exactly who the defense was going to call. So instead, they got a list of, quote, potential experts. And then I guess they just have to guess or plan for all of them.
Which is insane because it's such a waste of resources. You know what I mean?
Like, it is.
The discovery makes total sense. Here's the evidence. We're going to, like, there shouldn't be no gotcha moments.
Yeah.
You know?
It feels weird for that to be a state-by-state thing. That feels like it should be something that's pretty universal.
Totally.
Also, we've never heard of them before.
I mean, in 8 years, like every now and then something blows my mind. This blew my mind.
I wonder if this is something...
It could be because they're trying him as a juvenile, so maybe it has to do with that. But I've never heard this before.
And again... How many non-white kids would not be tried as a kid?
Right. And
do you know what I'm saying? It's because he's rich and white.
Of course. But I mean, like, think about the Durst trial that was in Texas. Like, imagine, like, they didn't have mutual discovery in that case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wild.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So, oh God, enter Dick Miller, Dr. Gary Dickie Miller. He's a psychologist who testifies for the defense in cases a lot.
We get the silly, the derpy music for this guy.
He's here with us today. And you know what? I got to tell you, I don't like his fucking attitude because he thinks all of this is really light and funny and hilarious and hysterical. And again, four people died. Someone's paralyzed. Other people are injured and countless lives were ruined. And so I don't understand why he's coming in here thinking this is a fun day at work. It's not. This is horrifying.
Yes.
And I wanted him to be like, look, so I wanted him to take it seriously a little bit, and he didn't at all. I didn't get a serious vibe from him not once.
And so he says, the first thing that we have to do is say, did he do it? And then we ask why. Why did this happen?
This kid, he had this giant garage full of vehicles, and he had his pick of the litter. And Dick Miller would have taken that as a 15-year-old.
He talks about how his practice is mostly focused on something called affluenza.
This was a classic case of affluenza.
Ah, classic case of affluenza.
And everyone's like, I'm sorry, a classic case of what?
Exactly.
Does he have the flu? Like,
right.
What are we...
No.
What are you talking... So this Dick Miller guy...
He says this on the stand. So,
right.
Like, the prosecution has never heard of this affluenza. They're trying to look it up in real time.
And so he's the guy who introduces this idea.
Yeah.
And he says it like it's a real thing.
Like it's
we're
a real
idiots
thing.
For not knowing what it
yeah.
is. The definition is, and I quote, a psychological malaise supposedly affecting wealthy young people, symptoms of which include a lack of motivation, feelings of guilt, and a sense of isolation. And what really struck me about that is that even the definition doesn't buy it.
Right.
Supposedly.
Exactly.
Even the definition knows it's full of shit.
No, and like Richard, the prosecutor breaks it down. He's saying like what this Dickie guy is saying is that because Ethan's parents didn't take good care of him and gave him everything he wanted, he isn't capable of making good decisions.
He's too rich. He's too privileged. He had no choice but to be a shitty person.
I'll even go on the record and say like if you're the kind of kid whose parents buy you a house so you can live alone at 16, you might think it's okay to drink. I accept that argument.
Of course they do.
But no person on earth thinks it's okay to get behind the wheel of a car and drive when you're that drunk. So
that
this
just
affluenza
makes you an asshole.
Thing, this affluenza thing, I think you probably all know what I'm saying, but like there are things that kids of privilege that like they don't understand, and that is the fault of the parent, and it is shitty. And I like if you're rude to waiters and you're not nice to people, these are the things you could attribute to affluenza. I understand that. My point is just there are things that like rich kids with shitty parents that they haven't
been
taught.
They live in a different world.
Yes, but getting behind the wheel of a car driving 90 miles an hour when you don't have a license and you've been drinking, there is not a single human being on earth, no matter what your upbringing, who feels like that's an okay thing to do.
Instantly makes you a piece of shit. And I got to tell you, I have news. I have proof that this wasn't the first time this has happened. And I have proof that his parents let him get away with it. So they all knew.
Yes.
But the thing is, this Dick Miller guy is saying he's too rich, he's too white, he's too privileged. The killer had no choice but to be a shitty person and therefore should not be held accountable. That is the defense.
That's just insane.
Like, in the argument of it, it's, well, no, he's too privileged. Like, he can't be held accountable for his actions.
Like, again, I'm beating it at horse, but if what had happened here was that this kid, this 16-year-old, had a party at a house where he lived at by himself, and one of his friends came over and drank too much and died of alcohol poisoning, I could see the affluenza argument for that. I'm saying this kid got in a car that he did not have a license to drive, hammered out of his fucking mind, his friends screaming at him to stop, telling him not to do it. He knew better. He knows right and wrong in this situation.
Now, if Dick Miller were here, he'd say that's exactly my point.
Say more.
You know what I mean?
Say more.
Like, he's saying, well, he's done this before.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't know any better. He's allowed to get hammered. He's allowed to get behind the wheel. Don't you see? He didn't know he couldn't. He's too rich. He's too privileged. He would say, that's exactly my point.
Then I guess I'm making it, because my thing is, there are...
I'm saying he's fucked
and
wrong.
No, I know. There are ways in which people could die here that I could see affluenza applies to that.
Right.
This is like, no. You had 8 people screaming at you not to do this.
Dick Miller would say to you, and yeah, I'm going to speak for him because he sucks. He'd say, you're on it. You're not missing anything. You're totally getting what I'm saying. It's all the same thing.
This is when I would jump over the stand, grab the guy by his neck, and then I'm in contempt of court. Yeah. Now I'm the problem.
Look. Not a jury would convict you, girl. I'd be right there. So now the defense wants the killer. Now, again, I can't stress it enough. What the destruction he caused. 4 people are dead. Someone is paralyzed. Other people are injured. Lives and families are destroyed. I just want to keep stressing that destruction because of what happens next. So the defense wants the killer to go to some like affluenza rehab in sunny California instead of juvie.
Yeah.
Because he killed people.
Dickie Miller, the expert, says this broke my heart. He says,
I usually think I can get to a parent and get them to get involved. But I didn't see that here. So I said, why don't we send this kid away for 2 years?
In this instance, I could not get these parents to give a shit about their kid who's on trial for fucking murder.
They left him 30 miles away.
Yeah.
But also, other things were happening. And again, they didn't just wake up one day and say, live in this house now. This is the upbringing.
Yes.
Which is it heartbreaking? 100%.
He
also made the fucking choice to get into that car.
100%.
Like, I feel no sympathy for that.
100%. So Dickie Miller is saying, I know of a treatment place in Newport Beach, California, where we can send him. He'll get training on how to be a citizen, and the parents can only see him under supervision. Let's send him there instead of prison. And they look into this place. Like, Richard, the prosecutor, is looking into this in real time. He's like, it's yoga and horseback
riding. It's a resort.
It's a resort.
It's what they call Club Fed. You know, it's one of those things where you're protected and you're just having a grand old time, still running business from the inside.
You also cannot tell me that Dickie Miller is not getting a kickback from this place. Have you seen this Kids for Cash documentary?
100.
This man is 100% getting a kickback from this place to get him sent there.
Absolutely.
You know?
And because remember we learned earlier that like he's always called by the defense in cases like this a lot.
Yes.
He's totally that's why he has to separate himself from it. That's why there's no emotion about what the killer did.
Exactly.
And all the destruction. Because for him, it's just another payday.
Now, the judge says they're doing a rehab program in the jail. 34 times I've sent people there. All they learn is how to be a better thief, and every time they come out and reoffend. I 100% understand the judge's frustration here.
But I want to slow down on that because that should also break your heart.
Yes.
That rehab and correctional facilities don't work, especially when it comes to kids.
Right.
What? I mean, again, we got to burn it all down.
Yes.
Our justice system is not a justice system. Like, it's a lot of people come out worse than how they started.
Yeah.
And when you say, like, especially kids.
Right.
God.
Like, he's going in at 16. And the judge is saying, if I send him there, he's going to. Now, I'm not saying what the judge does next is right at all.
I think
whatsoever.
She's in cahoots.
What? Oh, God.
The judge said rehabilitation within adolescent jails just doesn't work. 2 years at the treatment center of Dr. Miller's choice. He'll supervise it. He'll keep up with it. Good evening, everyone.
Dickie Miller's going to oversee the whole thing, and we'll keep tabs on the kid.
Tell me they're not in cahoots.
God damn it.
Right?
Yeah.
Because she says he can go to, quote, treatment for 2 years. Dick Miller, my best friend Dick Miller, can pick the place.
Yeah.
And Dick Miller is here telling us, and he is giddy. Now, this is the demeanor of a man who's either working with the judge or got one over on the judge.
Yes, yes.
4 people died, you fucking prick.
4 people died.
Someone is paralyzed. Other people are injured. Families are ruined and destroyed. I'm not saying you can't. Of course you can get through. I'm just saying.
Yes, yes.
The pain and destruction that this guy caused, and this asshole is sitting here giddy about like, oh, he gets to go to Club Fed.
Right.
So everyone, of course, is furious about this.
Yeah, people are storming out of the courtroom.
Because think of, that's your loved one, your family, your friends.
I mean, it's Daisy. Like, I can't even, I can't wrap my brain around it.
Because it is so cut and dry. We know what happened. No one's saying he didn't do it. The choices that he made to get into that car and cause all that destruction is so clear.
Exactly.
So I can see you feeling like, I'm not real. It's the ultimate gaslighting, like instant trauma response of being like, I'm not a real person.
Yeah.
This is not real.
Yeah.
Is this table real? Like, where, like, that instant panic, not even panic or anger. Again, all those emotions you feel going through a drunk driving situation in the worst way possible. And you have Dick Miller like high-fiving and laughing about it.
And to this day, like that's his whole demeanor in this documentary. He thinks it's hilarious.
Like other people's family members are not here because it's too painful.
Right.
And he's here giggling.
Yes.
And I don't fucking like it.
No. So now the lead story in every news program across the country is affluenza.
And I hate to say it, we see Nancy Grace for 2 seconds. She says something I agree with yet again because she's like, are you trying to tell me this didn't happen because he's rich and white?
Yes.
I'll wait. And of course that's why it happened. That was his entire defense.
Dr. Dickey's all over TV defending himself, getting his ass handed to him by Lady Anderson Cooper.
Oh my God. Because the whole point of the defense is that he's rich and white.
Yeah.
It is crazy making.
And Shauna, Brian, the pastor's wife, is saying like, how am I supposed to explain this to my kids? The guy who killed their dad, 3 young kids. I've got to now explain to them that he got no real punishment. There's no consequence for it.
With no remorse, too. It's not like he got up there and said, I am determined to make changes. I can't believe I did this. I'm so sorry. Like, there's none of that. The parents don't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit. Dr. Miller doesn't give a shit. It is infuriating.
Richard, the prosecutor, says,
even after the sentencing, I said, mark my words, he's going to be back in the system. I told him, I said, look, Ethan is going to mess up. And when he messes up, I promise you, we will be there. And we waited for that to happen.
And we are waiting for that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, this is now a waiting game, right? Because of course he's going to screw up again. Guess what? We don't have to wait very long.
Not too long.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Funny how quickly people can destroy things.
It's really, you know, as in, we're going to cover a documentary called Into the Fire.
Yeah. Oh, we are doing it?
Of course.
Oh, good. Everyone's talking about it.
I watched it. I'm obsessed with it. Of course. We're discussing it in my DMs. Of course, of course. There is a quote from that people had sent me. Like, when you watch it, look out for this quote. There's a quote, karma is the most patient gangster.
Oh, is it the mom that says that?
Yeah.
She's
or she like
amazing.
Posts a meme about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it doesn't take very long.
Yeah.
When you live your life certain ways. So there's video of the killer.
Yeah.
Now remember, he is going to this affluenza rehab, right?
Right.
And it looks like a crest, like a Harvard crest.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Looks like a very fancy prep school / resort.
Yes. And this is all what you're about to say is 2 years later.
Right. And the point is he's going to rehabilitation because remember in prison in juvie they don't rehabilitate them. So he's going to a place where really he's going to make the changes he needs to make.
Yes.
Because he's going to be cured of his affluenza.
Right.
Like words I just fucking said.
I know.
Cured of his affluenza. What does he have to do? Like, get a job?
Cured of affluenza merch is a thing.
Get a job, live paycheck to paycheck, figure the shit out.
Totally.
Set up your own internet. You know what I mean?
Your own SimpliSafe,
like,
even.
Like, make a budget. That's how you cure yourself of fun.
Yes.
Live in the real world
exactly.
for 2 seconds.
Yes.
That didn't happen.
No.
There's video of the killer at this affluenza resort. He is hammered. He's playing beer pong. He is laughing and falling all over himself. That is many infuriating things, but mostly it's a violation of his probation.
And also, this video, we know about it because it was on Inside Edition.
Yeah.
Inside Edition is doing a story on this kid, and we learn about his probation.
Couch's probation states that he cannot drive, drink alcohol, or use drugs.
Well, when's his next probation meeting? Oh, he missed his probation meeting. Okay, this is just getting even easier.
Oh, he missed his last probation meeting? This is getting easier and easier, girl.
Bada bing, bada boom. That spells warrant for your arrest, you piece of shit. So Ethan and his mother, Tanya.
Because now there's a warrant out for their arrest, like you said.
And it's on Inside Edition and everyone knows about it.
Yes.
Because, again, people are fucking idiots.
Yes.
Stay stupid, everybody. Ethan and his mother, Tanya, have gone missing.
They go missing.
She took 30 grand in cash out of the bank. They hit the road. Where are they going? They're going to Mexico.
They're going to Puerto Vallarta.
She wrote a note. The mother wrote a note to Fred, the father. I'm taking Ethan. You're never going to see either one of us again. And dear listener, I cannot believe I'm saying this to you again, but the killer was caught because he bought Domino's and used a credit card.
I know.
What in the bad vegan?
I know.
Oh my God. We're here. Domino's again. Domino's is going to get you.
God, I'm starving.
You know what? I think I am going to get Domino's. I'm starving.
Sounds like a great idea.
Smell that smell.
Am I?
When it hits.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Am I a terrible parent for saying I would never do that? If Daisy commits murder, I'm not going on the lam with her. I'm not doing it.
You've said it before.
Yeah.
You will not take out 30 grand and just head to Mexico.
Face it. Look, if I raised you to, and you murdered somebody, we all have answers to pay. You know what I mean?
And the thing, the difference is that we always, and my therapist is trying to talk me out of this, always putting our real selves into these insane situations.
Uh-huh.
It would never get there.
Right.
Of course you wouldn't.
Of course.
Because you wouldn't do 500 things that led up to getting Domino's in Mexico.
Yeah.
Also, you have 30 grand in cash. You're paying on the card? Stay stupid.
I know.
What is the 30 grand in cash for if not to avoid using the card? Hello? What are you logging in? Look, no, I love the Domino's tracker too.
Me too. I love it.
You're paying in cash.
Are we getting Domino's tonight?
I might have to get Domino's.
I'm going to probably get Domino's tonight.
They're probably terrible, right? They probably fund horrible things.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll have water and soup.
Oh, great. Prosecutor Richard, by the way, he agrees with you. He goes,
authorities traced his whereabouts to the fancy hotel where Ethan and his mother were staying.
They're not smart enough to get away with this. I mean, they're just not. They're not masterminds.
They are not masterminds.
No, they're not, because it's also like, you're here now. You can't get away with everything. And so Prosecutor Rich is like, enough is enough. He fights to move the case from juvenile court to adult court.
Thank the Lord.
And it actually works. I didn't know where this was going based on the words that have come out of my mouth. Affluenza resort.
I know.
Like, give me a break.
I know.
I can't believe this was in juvenile court the first time, because he's 16 and a half.
He
killed four people. All the damage he caused, again, he paralyzed someone. Because of all the times. How many times have we seen, 14-year-olds?
Oh, I know.
And again, the white rich privilege is screaming.
Of course.
So Ethan, and the privilege just continues, because Ethan is sentenced to 720 days.
Not years, fam. Days.
No, 120 days for each of the four people he killed.
Yeah.
120 days.
I'm like, this is not enough time. And they have to put him in solitary confinement to keep him the fuck alive.
Yeah. And I'm going to say their names again. It's Brianna Mitchell, who's the caterer.
Yeah.
Holly and Shelby Boyle, who were being nice and staying with Brianna until her mom came.
Yeah.
And Brian Jennings, the youth pastor. So, Brian, but here's the thing about Brian Jennings.
And we're told this by Tim, his best friend.
Yeah, he worked with kids like Ethan.
Because he had been a kid like Ethan.
Yeah.
Tim is showing us all these pictures of them, like, back in their high school and early college days, like, drinking, partying, not a care in the world. And Tim tells us, on Brian's senior trip in high school, he almost lost a good friend to alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
And, like, he comes back from that trip a totally changed person and becomes really focused on becoming a youth pastor. And he felt called to deal with kids just like Ethan.
So Brian, the pastor, if he knew the killer, he would have tried to help the killer.
Yeah.
Of course, the killer would tell him to go fuck himself because he's perfect and doesn't need any help. But the point is, the killer is someone who Brian would have had a sympathy for.
Yeah. And this is where Tim, the best friend, is just saying, like, you know, he's really struggling with the idea that, like, these are the kinds of kids they try to help. And he's saying, like, after some time, he decides he has to go see him.
Because he's wondering, is there any hope for the killer? Is he...
I'm so
a piece of shit as he seems to be. Is there hope for him?
I'm just so conflicted about this. I don't know. You know, I mean, we learned that Ethan spends 23 hours a day in his cell, no TV, no contact with the other inmates. And Tim is saying, like,
yeah, there was absolutely nothing easy about this. I don't want to see him. I don't even want to be in the courtroom with him. I didn't like doing this. I didn't like meeting with Ethan. But it was something I knew I had to do.
I didn't like doing this, but I believe that this is what Brian would have done if it were me. So everyone's kind of acting in Brian's best interest. And, like, I do believe in not throwing people away for their mistakes, you know?
Sure.
But at the same time, four people, your best friend's three kids are going to grow up without their dad because of the choices this fucking kid made.
Someone's paralyzed, other people are injured, and it couldn't be me. I'm telling you right now.
I know.
Because the level of destruction is so enormous.
Yeah.
Because he had a chance to make it right. Because he never learned, never changed. He never reached out to the family. There was no warmth, no compassion.
He fled to Mexico. You know what I mean?
Like, no acknowledgement of what he did could never be me.
No.
Fuck this kid.
I know.
Like, that's where I stand on it.
Yeah.
Because show me. If you're changing and if you're learning and if there's hope, then show me.
Right.
Because he was given a second chance on a silver platter and threw it in everyone's faces.
Yeah. And put a pin in that because it doesn't really end any better than that. So Tim is describing the first meeting. Now, this kid is in solitary, so the whole thing's got to be done through a video screen. And, like, the killer can only see the video screen through a slot in the cell door.
I mean, again, look, I am not ever going to be happy about the way the prison system is run, ever.
Yes,
let me
yes.
also make that clear. That is, many things are true here.
100%. But they do have to keep this kid safe. I think that that is another, like, he's in solitary because they would have killed him otherwise.
Yeah, and, you know, he's only got a few days left. Again,
right,
it's not like it's 720 years.
Right, no, you're absolutely
it's
right.
It's not that long of a time for what he did. And again, he's only there now because he didn't do the repercussions he was supposed to have the first time around.
Because
he got away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's here for, like, a couple months.
For a couple months.
You know? In the grand scheme of things.
In
his life that he gets to live that other people don't get to live.
Yeah. And so, like, Ethan gets moved to general population, so now they can meet face to face. And Tim is saying that, like, Ethan was 19 years old when they met and, like, just beyond parenting by his natural parents. And, like, this is where we're going to learn. And I do have empathy here. We are going to learn how shitty the killer's upbringing was.
Yes.
And so we meet Christy McWilliams, who's Ethan's half-sister. And, you know, she says, I always said that Ethan was my first child because she basically had to raise him.
Yeah, she does taxidermy.
Yeah.
She is blow drying with a hairdryer lion.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't like taxidermy.
Me either.
I don't like walking into a room and their heads on the wall.
I agree.
Christy seems like she's very good at this.
She loves it.
I hope it's for, like, education. It seems like she's at some kind of warehouse that where this is a business, perhaps.
Yes.
I understand maybe there is, like, an educational reason why we're doing this.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
I don't love it either. And I made note, but she seems very good at
it. The lion is upside down and she's blow drying it with a hairdryer.
Okay.
A little guy. I don't know what happened. Was he poached? I don't know how this works.
I know.
It leads me down a mental road.
They're not
that hurts
killing
my feelings.
Them to, like, taxidermy them.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah,
certainly hope so. I don't know.
Plus, I like Christy. She says that she's gotten, like, all through the years, tons of calls from the media. She's never wanted to give any interview. This is the first interview she's ever done anything like this because she wants to tell Ethan's side of the story, she says.
Yeah. So remember, she's the killer's half sister.
Yes.
So Fred, the killer's dad
is
not Christy's biological dad.
Right.
And Christy explains, and this always makes me enraged, that Fred always made that very clear to Christy that they weren't biologically related.
Christy says
who gives
when
a fuck?
Right. Christy says when her mother and Fred first met, she would cry all the time because she hated Fred so much.
Because he was mean.
Yes.
Because she wasn't, quote, his biologically, which is like, fuck you, it's family's family.
Exactly. We learned that he has a small sheet metal business. I guess that's how they have all their money, is through this, like, small sheet metal business.
I guess so, but he was always really angry. Money can't buy you class nor happiness.
No, and Christy says, and I quote,
he was always angry. It was like you had to walk on eggshells at the house. Like, he was very, my mom would just get her ass beat. And Fred had a little bit of pull with the Lake Worth Police Department. Fred would walk out there and just kind of smooth things over and they would leave.
He was super violent, but also kind of, he's described as rich and influential in the town. So he would just, like, sweet talk the cops and he was never held accountable for any of this.
I mean, like, clearly it's her that is calling the police and they don't even want to check with her.
Right.
It's insane.
But Christy tells us that Tanya, the mom who took him away to Mexico with the cash.
Yeah.
Let the killer do whatever he wanted because there was so much chaos in the house to begin with. And Fred, the father, sucked. And she didn't want to be the mean one or do any real parenting.
Yeah.
So she just sort of,
because Ethan comes along. Like, Ethan is born in this time frame. And the mother just doesn't want to really parent him because the dad is so awful to him.
And the mother is trapped now with this horrifying, violent person. And there is sympathy there for that, of course.
Absolutely.
But I feel like we got to meet in the middle here. Like, why? If I don't understand, I'm not 100% clear on the math of how a shitty father leads to killing four people and influenza and paralyzing somebody.
Here's the thing, like, you know, what we're going to learn is that the abuse from the dad was really bad.
Yes.
And that is why the mother moved Ethan into that house. Because Ethan stands up to his dad basically kicks him out, and rather than bringing him home, the mom moves him to the house. And, like, Christy, the sister, is saying to the mom, like, he can't live alone. Like, he's going to kill himself.
Right.
And the mom is like, you don't understand. Him living there is better than him living here.
Uh-huh.
Which that really spoke. At least we understood. It wasn't like they were like, we're going to buy our son this house and there's no rules. And
I understand.
The mom is trying to keep him safe by keeping him separate. That is not an excuse for anything that happened.
Right.
But it helps me understand a little bit like how we got here.
Yeah. It's interesting because I guess the distance was important for safety and from the mom's point of view. But it feels like she also had no connection. And she also didn't have any connection when the trial was happening.
Right.
So why isn't she in touch with him all the time?
And
or why
maybe he's like, we don't get any information on their relationship. Maybe he was really controlling. Maybe she can't leave him because she's afraid he'll kill her if she does, which we know happens all the time.
Right.
Like, and I don't want to make excuses for anybody because we really don't know. But I believe that she put Ethan in that house to keep him safe.
Yeah. Of course, you do what you have to do when you're trapped in a situation that is violent and scary and the guy's friends with the cops. I hear you.
Yeah.
I also think choices were made.
Right. Because
here.
You can't just then let your kid just drink and party and do drugs. Like,
you can't throw him away.
Right. Exactly.
You can keep him safe by creating distance that also, you still have to take care of him.
Exactly.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
And I don't see that here.
No.
Because the killer grew up without any discipline or boundaries, and he did whatever the fuck he wanted. And not in the way where it's like, he always had ice cream for lunch.
Right.
We're talking about destructive, shitty things. He became a bad guy.
Well, and right, because we learned that 4 months before the crash, an officer finds a vehicle on the side of the road in the middle of the night.
What he discovered was Ethan Couch. He was clearly intoxicated, doesn't have a license. Even more distressing was a half-naked 13-year-old girl passed out drunk in the car and unresponsive.
They find a 13-year-old half-naked girl drunk and passed out in the car with him.
Right.
And they call the parents. The mother arrives on the scene, and the cops say it was clear the biggest concern in this moment was keeping it from the dad. And it cuts back to best friend Tim, who's like, this is so frustrating because this was 4 months before he killed my best friend and all these other people. There were all these opportunities for somebody to intervene and say, this kid needs serious fucking help. This kid, or he's beyond help. He's now doing whatever with a 13-year-old girl. We got to really get this kid, we got to do something because this kid is in a bad way.
And the only thing he's learning is that there's no rules, no accountability.
No consequences.
And because I looked this up, because I'm like, what happened here?
Yeah.
She's half naked. She's unconscious. What did he do to her?
Yeah.
What is going on? This 13-year-old girl who we don't know much about because she's a minor. However, from D Magazine, and I quote, though he'd broken at least 6 laws, Ethan was only issued tickets for minor in consumption and minor in possession. Ugh. Tanya, his mother, drove Ethan home, leaving the truck at the Dollar General. In her deposition, Tanya, the mother, was asked what happened to the girl. That morning, Tanya responded, her mom picked her up, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Citing the ongoing civil litigation, Lakeside Chief of Police Lee Pitts declined to comment on the incident. So, Tanya.
Yeah.
You gotta give a shit about, you don't know what happened to the drunk, unconscious, naked 13-year-old girl in your son's truck, and your focus is to ditch the truck?
Right.
And have her mom picked her up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
Come on.
Right. Like, so it's very hard to have sympathy for any of these people.
Right.
You know?
Because where is the, you gotta get him away from here, we gotta protect the kid? Where is that, like,
right,
empathy and warmth for human life?
Right.
In any way?
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
Young girl, and what obviously just happened. Like, a drunk, passed out 13-year-old girl. Like, come on.
And he didn't get a fucking talking to, at the very least, on the way home. It was, how do we get away with this?
Yes, exactly.
From the mother.
So we cut back to the prison where the killer is currently locked up. We learned that it's the Tim Curry Correctional Justice Center.
Okay.
I took a picture of it.
Whoa. Did you do any research
into who, no relation?
Like, right?
Is it like the Tim Curry? Anything can happen on Halloween.
We gotta look. I need answers.
All right, look it up. Look it up in real time.
It's Tim Curry
Correctional
Facility.
Justice Center.
Because I know he's not from Texas.
Right.
And no, it's just the name of it. Like,
we don't have any.
Who is Tim Curry Justice Center named after? Oh, this guy died in 2009 at the age of 70. He was a prosecutor.
Okay.
He has his own Wikipedia page.
Okay, great. I'm sad to know that it's not Tim Curry from The Worst Witch.
He was and Clue and Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a prosecutor in Texas.
All right, great. Anything can happen on Halloween.
It's your favorite one.
Have you seen that one?
Of course.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It's not my Tim Curry movie. But like, I know it exists. Yeah. So the killer spent 2 years in prison. BFF Tim is all about forgiveness. I am not.
No, and he visited him 80 to 90 times in the 2 years he was in prison.
I would have loved to hear how that went.
Yeah.
We heard a lot about why it happened.
Yes.
But I would really love, I wonder if he went 80 or 90 times because he was
not getting what he wanted.
And so maybe the next time he gets some sympathy or remorse. I don't, because we don't hear about like, and he walked out of there a changed man.
Right. We get a couple of things on that. First, Tim went to Shauna, Brian, the pastor's wife, to tell her that he was going to go see him. She starts out mad.
At the end of it all, Shauna brought the visit to a close and she said, you know,
had the roles been reversed and I had died, not a doubt in my mind that Brian would have reached out to Ethan and would have forgiven and loved him. Not a doubt in my mind.
If it were me that got killed, he would go to this prison. He would love and care for the killer, which to me, everybody live your life the way you want to. Yeah. That is over forgiving.
Yeah. And that is, if that is what they need to have peace in their lives after this destruction and chaos was brought into it, then you should have that peace in your life.
Yeah. You want to finish that thought?
Because I would never do it, but it's not my business
to
talk about it or judge it. It's just hard for me as a spectator sitting here.
But what is even harder to deal with is that after all of this forgiveness, after all these three boys are growing up without a dad, this piece of shit gets out of jail in 2018, doesn't say a fucking word.
Yeah.
Doesn't take the opportunity to hold a press conference and say he's really sorry. Write an open letter. Write an op-ed.
Nothing.
Write a personal card to Shauna apologizing.
No. Start an organization. Yes. Throw some money at something good.
Tim
awareness.
Says 85 to 90 times he went to visit the killer of his best friend.
Yeah.
This kid does nothing when he gets out to apologize or take accountability in any way.
Yeah.
Christy, his sister, wants us to know he's really sorry, but he doesn't want to say it.
No, he's done counseling. And I'm like, yeah, probably forced counseling when he was in jail for 10 days or whatever, 720 days. Like, I really... I'll believe it when I see it. And I think the next time I see this asshole, it's going to be because he got arrested again.
I was going to say, it could be tomorrow because guess what? His probation ended December 10th, 2023. He's now a free man.
Perfect. Like, really, he is on the road.
Yeah. He's out there driving a car.
And he's learned nothing.
And he's
learned nothing.
Yeah.
So, great. Great job, everybody.
Great job, everybody.
Thrilled. And here's something also in 2013.
Yeah.
His mother was sentenced to a $500 fine and a six-month community service supervision order for reckless driving when she used her vehicle to force another motorist off the road.
I mean, did they get in any trouble for going on the lam and taking her kid to Mexico?
Not really.
I mean, what on earth?
So, it's like, I understand there is abuse here and we can't judge it and you do what you have to do, but it's like everything is, all signs are pointing to like reckless, violent, privileged assholes.
Yes.
What am I supposed to do? Am I wrong?
No, you nailed it.
I go to Succession for those kinds of people. I don't need it in real life.
Oh my God, girl. We did Smugshot episode 4. What a wild episode.
It's called Affluenza.
Affluenza.
It's
crazy. I
hate that word. I never want to say that word again.
Fam, if you want more Jillian and me, and who could blame you, join us over there on the Patreon. Over 400 full ad-free bonus episodes. What are we in the middle of right now?
We are in the middle of Man with 1,000 Kids.
Oh my God. It is so wild.
Yeah. And then we're doing Mastermind on Hulu about Dr. Ann Burgess.
Yes. And there's everything from
Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God, The Twin Flames thing, both seasons of The Jinx.
Yes. Oh my God. Quiet on set.
We also did all of season 1 of Worst Roommate Ever on the Patreon feed, but now we're going to start sprinkling those episodes in for season 2 on the regular feed.
I don't even remember doing that. That's how many episodes there are.
So many.
It's patreon.com/youcomeobsessed, or just go to our website, click on the Patreon link.
Yep.
What are we doing next, girl?
Okay, so because this is a bonus episode,
yeah,
this comes out on Thursday. So the next Patreon episode is Mastermind on Hulu to Think Like a Killer with Dr. Ann Burgess. And then the next regular feed episode is Worst Ex Ever, episode one, because they did for Worst Roommate Ever, and then they have a new series, Worst Ex Ever.
Yes.
So we're doing the first episode of that. It's
which is insane.
Dating the Devil. I mean, and these episodes are like full-length docs, so you will see them on your regular feed, dear listener.
Yes, 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 yes. All right, fam, go listen to the trailer for that, and we love you.
We love you.
All right, bye.
Bye. Don't fucking drink and drive, or I'm coming for you. Yeah. I will judge you, and I will be so mad at you. I'm serious.
No,
you want me mad at you? Do that. Oh, don't do it at all.
And look at the crazy eyes. You can see that she means it.
I do mean it.
I know you should mean it.
Stand by it.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So I go around to the back door, and I hear...
Justine!
Are you
oh my God, she's screaming.
After the first time she screamed, I hear bang, bang, bang. And I'm thinking it's her, like, hitting the walls, like, wanting me to hurry up. And then I'm trying to get the door open. I can't get it open, and I'm trying to kick it open. And then she screamed again, and then I hear bang, bang, bang again. And I mean, the most god-awful scream you've ever heard in your life.
Ambulance is coming, honey.
The garage door's open, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, how did I miss that? So I start to sprint into her house, and Ben Foster comes out. And I'm like,
what the fuck is going on?
You're inside now?
Oh, Dan? This is a heart attack. Why didn't you fucking... I have an ambulance coming.
He says, why don't you go in there and get her, and I'll get the car ready, and we'll take her to the hospital.
Okay, so what's going on there?
The guy's taking off over here. Something?
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.